Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for joining the John Kincaid Show. And I think the sun's out in Atlanta, which is a shocker because we're just about to build an arc. But I got back from a week at spring training where it was like 86, 87 degrees and sunny in February. It was awesome, and it was great to see. I was down at Braves camp. Great to get the feel of baseball coming back. Steve Gardner from USA Today lives a very difficult life. He gets to travel around, talk about baseball, write about baseball all the time, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show. Steve, it really is I've told people before, if you want to fall in love with sports again, and so many things sort of alienate people, if you want to fall in love with the game of baseball again, I suggest everybody grab your son, grab your daughter, and go to spring training. And I think there's something very innocent and enjoyable about it. What about you?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, the players are relaxed. You know, there's no real competition that they're worried about. The veteran players not worried about their jobs or anything like that. And the young players are trying really hard to impress. So you might get to see a glimpse of somebody who may become a star later. It's just a wonderful atmosphere, and you know, it's not the inflated ballpark prices that you see during the regular season, and the weather obviously is fantastic. So yeah, I agree completely. Spring training is something every baseball fan should get to experience.
And I would suggest too that none of the Braves players were tired of seeing my face, because it's been like, you know, you get like months off, so it makes it a little bit better. They're not used to having a microphone stuck in their face for like 4 months, so they're usually in a more pleasant mood.
That does help.
I always think the pro athletes, that the Major League Baseball players have it the worst when it comes to media, because of all the frequency that they have to have media availability. Whereas the NFL players can say, okay, get this media availability during the week, and their season's shorter. They don't have it like these players do in baseball.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, not to complain about jobs of the beat writers and things like that. But, yeah, even if there's not a whole lot of news, you have to at least go out and look for some and talk to people. I think that's one of the great things, though, is if you don't have to write something, or you can just sit and talk baseball, you know, and that's one of the most fun things, too. Even if it's with the players, you know, the coaches are great during spring training, or even if it's the guy sitting next to you in the stands, talking baseball is awfully fun.
Steve, I'm trying to figure out, and I'm not asking you to break news or act like you're an expert on this story, but whatever you can offer is, what do you think's going on with the Bryce Harper story, and are we nearing a conclusion from anything you can garner?
I think we are nearing a conclusion, partly because, you know, the time constraints of spring training, starting the season, you've got to get all the players that you're going to have on your roster in camp. So there's a little bit of incentive there from the Phillies' point of view. From Bryce Harper's point of view, he wants to get going. I'm sure he's like a caged animal, just ready to go out, wants to go hit, just needs to go somewhere. The problem is, and I think this has been the problem the entire offseason, is that Bryce Harper faced a lot of pressure, and Scott Boras faced a lot of pressure, partly some of it self-inflicted, to get the big contract. You know, it's been built up for an awful long time. I think Scott Boras was kind of putting his reputation on the line a little bit about how great of a player Bryce Harper is, and $400 million is something that, you know, he should certainly get and deserves. Well, the market hasn't really embraced that. And right now, it seems like the Philadelphia Phillies are really the only serious player, the only serious contender that has shown any kind of interest in Bryce Harper. And I get the feeling that Bryce Harper really isn't too keen, or hasn't been, on going to Philadelphia. I think if he could go back and rewind things, you know, 6 months, I think he'd want to re-sign in Washington more so than go somewhere else. But that was what he needed to do to test the market. And I think in this case, Scott Boras might have done him a disservice holding him out this long, because really Philadelphia is the only place that he can go that makes a whole lot of sense right now.
I'm trying to figure out this one thing about it, though, as far as his decision, you know, making is. I'm still hearing Major League Baseball players trying to grumble about, well, there's collusion and the system's broken. You know, these big name players shouldn't be sitting out. These players are sitting out because they're trying to bleed every last dollar out of owners that don't want to part with them. Am I looking at that wrong?
I look at it differently. I think the owners are sitting on a pile of cash right now, and they could be it's not affecting their bottom line that much to go ahead and make a play and bid for some of these players that are still on the open market. It doesn't have to be Bryce Harper. It could be Dallas Keuchel. Why aren't people interested in Dallas Keuchel? Why aren't people interested in Craig Kimbrell? You know, Marwin Gonzalez just had to wait to sign with the Twins for a piddling two-year deal. I think something major is going on here, and I think the problem that Major League Baseball faces right now is that what is winning? You know, is it taking the World Series and making the playoffs, or is it financially raking in a lot of money for the ownership? I think the disconnect between winning on the field and quote-unquote winning off the field really doesn't have a whole lot of correlation. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you draw 3 million fans to the ballpark. That's not your major source of income anymore. It's the television revenue. It's the internet revenue. Every team got $50 million each, you know, for nothing because of MLB selling off their internet arm. I think that's what the problem is that there's no real incentive. You don't see the George Steinbrenners and the Mike Iliches who are hell-bent on getting a World Series championship anymore. It's a lot of bean counting, and it's a lot of budgeting. I mean, it's kind of hard to say the Cubs don't have money or the Yankees don't have money or the Dodgers. That's money should not be an object for those teams.
Steve, though, here's one thing I don't understand, though, is and I discussed this with Freddie Freeman the other day at Braves camp in a discussion. And then, by the way, I bumped into Craig Kimbrell at the Orlando airport on Friday afternoon, put it up on social media and drove everybody crazy in Atlanta. I won't give away any secrets there, but he's waiting for a deal. He's waiting for a deal to his liking. I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is this, is as a corporation owner, you have a right to decide as a business model what you feel comfortable in paying. And we know now numerous teams were chasing after Manny Machado at big money, just different numbers of years. And it appears there were still quite a few teams that were in on Bryce Harper. So how do they talk collusion?
Well, I think, you know, talking about as a business owner, the thing is the MLB teams don't have shareholders that they have to answer to. It's a team owner. And
The Braves do, by the way.
That's true. That's true. So, you know, for most teams, you've got an owner or a family or whatever
that
controls the purse strings. And is baseball, because it has all the antitrust exemptions and so many benefits to being a business, is not like a regular corporation. And I think that there's a little bit, because fans pay an awful lot for stadiums through all of the public financing, that there's a bit of a public trust there. And I think the ownership does have a little bit of a responsibility to a community to put a winning product out there rather than just sit back and, you know, not going to name names, but there are some franchises that seem content to just collect the revenue sharing money and put, you know, players out on the field, but when they have an opportunity to maybe take the next level, sign a free agent, and be a playoff contender, they historically choose not to.
Give me a dark horse that you're interested in seeing more of in the spring that you think we might be talking about in September?
Good question. I think, well, you can't really say St. Louis is a dark horse. I mean, having gone out traded for Paul Goldschmidt, but the Cardinals were out of the playoffs last year. I think Tampa Bay is a very good case of a team, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot of money, and here I talk about the owners like they're evil, but you know, Tampa Bay, because of their stadium situation, they don't have the finances that other teams have, but you've got a team that does put a winning product out on the field. So I think Tampa Bay is going to be interesting this season, and I don't know about teams, but I think an interesting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could do some amazing things on the diamond this year, and in turn make Toronto an interesting team. I don't know that they're ready to compete yet, but they'll definitely make some waves, I think.
What if every Major League Baseball team, their roster was expanded by two spots, and Major League Baseball retracted two franchises? Would the Players Association fight that? Because wouldn't the jobs sort of wash out?
Yeah.
Because I really do believe it would take away some of this just sucking at the teat of the profit sharing and everything like that if they went that route. Expand the rosters, make every single team better, deeper by retracting a couple.
You remember, though, back when Bud Selig threatened to do that and the Twins were one of the teams on the chopping block and the Expos were on the chopping block, the fans, in Minnesota certainly were not very excited about that possibility, and it did raise some major concerns. I think people don't like to pay for the stadiums and everything, but you take the team away, that's something completely different. Conceptually, perhaps that makes sense. But I think just from the way that it would cause such an earth-shattering change in the way the game has been played, I don't know that the Players Association would really go for that.
I don't know if you got to personally know Nick Cafardo. He guested with me various times on the radio. I didn't know if you knew one of your brethren or not, but I figured you probably have crossed paths. He passing away on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I know. That was sad. And, Nick was always, it seemed like, because the Red Sox were in the postseason all the time, always around, which is basically when I see a lot of the national guys is in the postseason. And, he was an ever-present figure there in the clubhouse and in the press box. And I don't know of anybody that had a bad word to say about him. I mean,
I like the fact that I had him on a few times and we sparred.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, he was feisty and loved his job, and I think people loved him too. So, Steve, I look forward to talking to you all through the baseball season. Have a great week, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks, John.
Everybody,
appreciate
check out his work in USA Today. He is a fantastic writer, and lots of great stuff you'll get from Steve Gardner of USA Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.